This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's livestock markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
As we look at the livestock markets, we saw a decline in the cash cattle price last week, steady to mostly a dollar lower. Most of them were a dollar lower across the plains. The packers the last couple of weeks have done a good job of managing the available supply of cattle. And so they did with contracts, forward contracts, basis contracts, various types of contracts, so they didn't have to fight in the negotiated cash realm, and so prices were able to slip lower. Now they're continuing to do that. Meanwhile, we've seen a drop in demand with cheap pork prices. There's been a shift from beef over to pork in many ways. The drop in prices has to some extent stabilized that demand. But overall, it's a very fine line between supply and demand. That's providing support for December live cattle around that 165 area. We bounced off of it. We broke above the descending channel in the charts, and that got us some follow-through buying yesterday. But the upside is very limited as well, because traders can see that they believe that we're going to continue to see the packers have to pay a little bit less and a little bit less, and we're going to erode away those cash values. So this market is vulnerable to the downside, but it's still getting good support. They're walking a fine line, balancing a very tight supply with declining demand. When you look at the hog side of the market, and some very interesting dynamics have been shaping up. This was the time of the year when we expected to see a big hole of supplies starting in late September, continuing through October and into November. And instead of a decline in animals available to slaughter because of PED virus earlier in the year, we saw through that six-week period there, the number of animals available actually increase by better than 7.5% in a six-week period. So we've had an increased supply of hogs. We've had an increased carcass weights, which is seasonal for this time of year due to cheap new crop supplies being available in the mild weather. So the supplies increased dramatically. But because the price for product fell so much, we saw demand increase substantially as well. It still appears to me as I look at the numbers that supply is exceeding demand. Supply is increasing faster than demand. So we're seeing this continued erosion of product prices. So while the cash market is stabilized currently, and the cash index, therefore, in the futures market has stabilized between that $88 to $90 level for December hogs, we're seeing that product market continue to decline, and as such, I think we'll eventually see the cash market resume its downward trend as well.
Although we are seeing these downward trends in the livestock markets, it is important to note that they are coming down from high levels.
Obviously, when you're trading between 165 and 168, for live cattle, we've traded as high as 170. You have quite a premium over in there with tightness of supplies. It's been very profitable for the cow-calf man for an extended period of time, which is very unusual in the industry. It's been, in fact, profitable all the way through, although the fattening cattle when the corn prices are high were tough. Now the corn prices are back down. And we can see for the demand for the feeder cattle, especially as we shift that feeder belt up north then to South Dakota and Minnesota, because of cheap corn in that area, we're seeing profits through many segments of the industry. So that's very unusual, and I would anticipate the normal cycle would suggest that we would have much lower prices to take away those profit margins on a cyclical basis, and we simply haven't had that for a while. But we all know this is temporary. This will move on. The fear we have is that we're going to ration demand and send the consumer away from beef toward cheaper pork and poultry. And when the cow herd does build back up again and we do build supplies back in, it's probably going to take much cheaper prices in order to bring the consumer back to beef.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
All it takes is one visit to the emergency room or one night stay in the hospital to realize the importance of health insurance. And no matter what your health insurance needs are, Country Financial Representative Wayne Shaver has a policy to take care of those needs, from disability income to long-term care coverage. I am committed to helping you balance your need to protect what you have with your desire to build for the future. In today's world of rising health care costs, you can't afford to be without quality health insurance. From me, Wayne Shaver, your country representative in Jerseyville, give us a call at 618-498-5800.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
How would you like to have your own lobbyist, a legislative watchdog, looking out for your interests? If you belong to Illinois Farm Bureau, you already have one, a whole staff in fact, because Illinois Farm Bureau keeps track of legislative actions, fights property tax increases, and stays in touch with Illinois lawmakers, bringing issues affecting farmers and landowners to the forefront and protecting farmers year-round in the state government. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Whole Farm Revenue Protection crop insurance policies are now available in most of the country, as USDA announced last week. The protection plan will be of interest to fruit and vegetable growers and organic farmers, according to the Hagstrom Report. The policy allows producers to insure between 50 to 85% of their whole farm revenue by insuring a variety of crops at once instead of one commodity at a time. USDA's Risk Management Agency called the protection tailored for any farm with up to $8.5 million in insured revenue, including farms with specialty or organic commodities, or those marketing to local, regional, farm identity preserved, specialty, or direct markets. For the past couple of years, University of Missouri Extension has been using Global Positioning System collars to track cattle every second of the day to learn more about their grazing preferences. MU Extension forage specialist Rob Kallenbach says cows tend to be pickier than you might think.
We have found consistently that there are plants that they like a lot, and they will almost always graze those plants or pick them off the smorgasbord, if you will, first out of the pasture. That gives us some ideas about how can we develop efficient pasture systems.
Kallenbach says increasing pasture efficiency over the next 20 years is vital to feed an ever-growing world population.
In the next 10 years, world demand for livestock products is expected to increase 30%. And at the same time, in the Midwest, the number of acres of pasture has gone down over the last 10 years. That puts a tremendous amount of pressure on pasture systems to be more productive and more efficient, because we're using them to supply 80% of the feed units that are used to produce beef in this country.
Kallenbach says this GPS information will help producers raise more cattle on a smaller number of acres. A story of steak and what it will take to supply high-quality beef to consumers worldwide. Cindy Campbell reports.
That was the topic of discussion during Angus University, an all-day educational series sponsored by Merck Animal Health and held in conjunction with the National Angus Convention in Kansas City. Lowell Catlett, keynote speaker and futurist, kicked off the event.
If we're going to feed 9 billion people, and like we do right now, we're feeding 7.2 billion people. We feed it because we have very intensive, efficient operations. We've seen fabulous efficiencies, and it's done by intensive management of livestock. But you can't do that without perhaps a cattle herd in a pastoral type agriculture that's working on their genetics.
Industry thought leaders, cattlemen, and feedlot managers shared the stage and examined what they believe is critical to the future of the business and what that means for rural America. Ron Rowan of Beef Northwest explains.
It's all about an economic signal, and now the technology is giving us the ability to track that and to send that economic signal back to the rancher. And the ones that are going to perform are to get more money for their product.
Story of a Steak is an award-winning editorial series in the High Plains Journal and the Angus Report that explores how the industry can produce more pounds of quality beef for consumers to enjoy. Chef Rick Rosser shared with the audience why he relies on certified Angus beef.
You know, CAB, Certified Angus Beef, and the Angus brand have really wrapped their arms around maintaining that great gene pool. So, I mean, it's easy to cook great steaks when you have Certified Angus Beef. It just starts great.
To see more highlights from the Angus Means Business National Convention and Trade Show, visit angusconvention.com, where the Angus media team is providing coverage from the event.
That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.